Hello, and welcome to the November edition of Senior Connect, a monthly podcast of the Seniors Ministry at First Presbyterian Church of Columbia. I'm your host, Troy Cash, and today I hope you'll enjoy, just as much as I did, a conversation with Doug Kron. But before our conversation, a few announcements. Listed in your copy of the Seniors Ministry Messenger are the events happening in the month of November. A couple of our regular standing meetings include the Seniors Ministry Session Committee on the 2nd, the Encouragers Breakfast on the 6th, the Encouragers Steering Committee on the 10th, the Barnabas Ministry Prayer and Note Writing Meeting on the 17th, and the Couples in Action Steering Committee meeting on the 22nd. A few special events for the month of November include the Men's Fellowship Breakfast. This breakfast is taking place on the 1st of November at 8 a.m. in Jackson Hall. And this breakfast is open to all men over the age of 50. On November 11th, we have a ladies' day trip to Greenville, South Carolina. This trip includes shopping, a lunch, and a walk in Falls Park. And lastly, on the 12th of November, we have our next lifelong learning seminar on social security. Our guest speaker for this meeting is Tony Williams. His talk is entitled, Securing Today and Tomorrow. The staff asks that you make your reservations by the 8th of November, and this event will be held at 9:30 in the college room of the Bridge. Well, that's all for our announcements today. Let's get to the conversation with Doug Kron. So Doug Kron, my friend, how are you this morning?
Growing.
Well, that's a great answer. You always have a poetic answer for me when I have simple questions, so I love it. First of all, thanks for coming here and sharing with us. I don't think that it's incidental at all that the Lord uses our personal stories to build one another up in faith and trust in Him. And so that's our point this morning. So thank you for being here to
You're
that
welcome.
End. So as I've said before on the podcast, our intent for these episodes is to connect our senior members to one another, as well as to the body at large, so that we might be built up, as we were talking about. So really what we're going to do is record a simple get-to-know-you conversation. We can cover all the ground you'd like, but why don't we begin with where you come from? Where do you consider your old stomping grounds, as I like to say?
Well, it's been a long time since I stomped there. But I had my great growing up years in Fort Collins, Colorado, in high school and college. But before that, I lived in a lot of places: Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, Illinois. My dad was a surveyor with Shell Oil Company, and we moved at least once a year.
Wow.
So, yeah, I grew up in Texas, and then I grew up in Colorado. We moved to Colorado one time, and my dad got a bug for trout fishing.
Oh, wow.
And while we lived in Greeley, Colorado, I was in the second grade, and we learned to do trout fishing up in the mountains, not too far away from there. And that ultimately carried us back there to Fort Collins in Colorado when I started high school. And my dad lost his job with the oil company due to physical limitations of the stress of doing surveying work outdoors.
I'm sure.
And so we moved to Fort Collins and started a new life.
Wow. All because of trout fishing.
Basically. I mean, he could choose anywhere he wanted to go, and that's where he loved. So we all went to Colorado.
That's awesome.
And of course, it was a wonderful place to live. It was absolutely beautiful. And it was very pleasant to be there. We bought a little house, and I started high school.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I went to college there, Colorado State University.
Yeah, sure. Because we've talked about this a little bit before, that kind of leads me into my next question. You know, the big points in our lives, where we grew up, our family, and of course, how we came to faith. Would you mind to share the story of how you came to know Christ as your Savior?
Well, I'm glad to tell as best I can. In 1963, I was a junior at Colorado State University in chemistry and pre-medicine, but I had really come to realize that the university wasn't going to give me the answers that I was looking for an integrated life. University means uni and ver, one, see as one.
Mm.
You know, integrate is what the idea of university is. Mm-hmm. Well, if anybody's been to the university, they know they don't integrate much. They just give more words and explanations for how broken everything really is. Mm. So existential lostness is what brought me to Christ.
And this was in what year?
1963. Well, you know, it was...
Sounds like it could have been 2021. I think there's a lot of college students going through that right now, Doug.
I did not become a Christian because of my sin. I became a Christian because I needed meaning in life.
Mm.
I didn't understand the Christian gospel at all. I didn't understand, you know, I didn't understand about sin.
Mm.
And so when I received Christ, I didn't know really what I was doing. But I know I did receive him on that night with the college boys in the room wanting to pray with me and getting me to pray. They were trying to lead me to Jesus. And I didn't know who he was, really. But after 2 years and a wonderful time of discipleship with another individual, I began to understand. We, you know, studied the Gospel of John and began to understand the Christian way of seeing the world and the need for Jesus to forgive my sins. And all of a sudden, that all kind of came into focus. And that happened about 2 years later. But I am quite sure I was a Christian at the very beginning, even though it wasn't based on my understanding. My repentance was deep. And I mean, because I was in the middle of my senior year at Colorado State University, and I closed the door and went to a little Christian college about 40 miles away out in the cornfields of Colorado. I mean, it was not a good school in any sense of the word.
Sure.
But there were a couple of people there that were good people. And that's where I met this man who was a little older than me. And he said, well, would you like to meet together? So for 4 months, from January to May, we met together every morning, probably 5 days a week at 5 o'clock.
Wow.
And we studied Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, and all related passages, which really includes the whole Bible.
Yeah, right.
You know, as you go back and explain what all this is. And there I learned that I was in Christ.
Yeah.
And that I was buried with Christ, and I was, I died with Christ, and I was buried and resurrected, and my identity was being in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have much of an idea what all that meant,
mm-hmm.
but it was the kind of thinking I needed to be thinking. And we sat there with the Bible open, and he kept pointing to these verses in Romans, and says, you know, that's your history. You were in Christ. You were there, even though you weren't born there. You were there.
Mm.
I, of course, didn't realize it at the time. But now that I've been a Christian for nearly 60 years, I realize that was the most powerful intervention that you could imagine in the 20th century.
Yeah.
As far as I was concerned. I didn't recognize it as any kind of intervention or anything. It was just a simple little discipleship session in a cornfield in Colorado in the middle of winter.
But also, at the same time, it was an intervention in heaven.
Absolutely.
For Doug Kroc.
I have a picture of where that all happened. Long's Peak was outside our window, these magnificent, gorgeous twin peaks of Long's Peak. And we were right in the sight line of that beautiful scene. So, yeah, that was how it all really began. That was where the foundation was laid. So building your life on the foundation of what Jesus taught results in stability in life's storms. And my life took on a new stability at that point.
Mm.
At least my mind did. I mean, I had a lot of growing and working out to do, but yes.
Absolutely, and it sounds like your mind took on new things because it was renewed as you were being transformed in your mind. That's so sweet. That's such a sweet story. So we'll kind of bridge the gap between, and it's a lot of gap to bridge, I know.
it's but, a long but, bridge.
But let's bridge the gap between Colorado and being here at First Pres. So you've had a lifetime of work in missions. So how did the Lord work in your life after that moment to show you your heart for missions? How did he bring that all
this
about?
This is the most mysterious thing about me that I still don't really understand, because with my background, I had no reason to think this, but the moment I became a Christian, I was going to be a missionary. Had really no idea what that was, I think. But that was the word I used. And so when I told the pastor of the church that I was going to, that I wanted to be a missionary, he said, well, you better go to seminary.
Okay.
So I said, okay.
So you did it.
And so I changed my major from chemistry the last
semester. Oh, my goodness.
I changed it to philosophy because it was terrible. I mean, I knew I was a Christian and that I had a huge change in my life. But, you know, I got into my philosophy and history classes at the university, and they didn't really help me in that.
Yeah.
You know, emotionally, I was just totally distraught. That's why I left in the middle of my senior year from the university to go to this funny little school not far from there. I says, this is just not leading me the right direction, and I need to get out of here. And there were other factors that I found out about the school. I mean, it was really a miracle of grace
that absolutely.
I found that place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in retrospect, at the time, I was just crazy. I was
just thought it made sense, right?
Get me out of here, you know?
Yeah.
So the next year after that, I went to another Bible college in Texas, and there I heard the then president of Columbia Bible College speak.
At a conference. Yeah.
And I was very attracted to his manner of teaching. And I said, well, if he's the president, it must be a really good school. I'm going there. So I got on a train in Denver and in August of 65, and I went to Chicago, Cincinnati, and we rolled into Columbia at California Dreamin'.
So the CIU.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Right.
Yeah. And what year was it that you started there?
65. I was a transfer student. I was in college for 7 years before I ever graduated.
Wow. You're making me feel better about myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like this terrible journey, you know. Seems like it would never end. But then I realized after a few months that I'm not leaving here.
Yeah.
Until I get what they have to offer.
And
I was very happy with the classes I was getting, and it just filled my heart and mind with the Christian worldview. And
that's very
the importance of Scripture.
Yeah.
And of course, the school at that time was all about missions.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd already settled that. I mean, that was going, you know.
It's just part of the strategy.
It's just part of it, you know. I didn't even think twice. But it was there that I met my wife.
I was going to ask you that. So I know that at that time, something big happened. You made a pretty sweet person there at CIU.
Yeah, I didn't think about it as that at the time, but we did get to know one another. She's a faculty child.
Sure.
Her mom and dad on the faculty. And as soon as I graduated from there, that's when I realized I'm alone. And so I looked back through my experience there, and it just happened. It was the sweetest thing. Mm-hmm. She used to park in the parking lot of a little church where I was working here in Columbia, and she would go attend classes at the University in Library Science.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd see her drive in, and I remembered, you know, we had dated a couple times. So one thing led to another, next thing. I mean, that's another whole story.
Yeah, sure.
So that's really how I came to First Pres.
Okay.
Eileen went to kindergarten here at First
Pres.
Oh,
my goodness.
And a couple of her classmates were Marshall Foster and Marion Davis.
Wow.
And so her whole family was tied to Presbyterian
Absolutely.
Churches. But
sure.
When we got married in 1970, the social chatter at the time was, oh, dear, Eileen's...
What has Eileen done?
She went and married a Baptist. So, you know, what do you do? And I had a lot of growing to do as a Christian before I understood enough to choose a denomination.
Mm.
But Eileen brought me to First Pres eventually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we had great years here since then. Curiously, one of the tipping points that drew me in to First Pres was the presence of a Christmas tree in the sanctuary,
used
as decoration for Claudia and Rick McCain's wedding. And we had been term in Spain at that time, and you know, our churches were in little storefronts and nothing special, church planting.
Yeah.
And the first time I came into the sanctuary, I was just overwhelmed by its beauty.
Mm.
And the focal point at that moment happened to be this beautiful lighted Christmas tree down by the baptismal font.
Oh, that's sweet.
And now, still in my old age, I maintain a freeze frame mental image of this sanctuary with the huge lighted tree down by the baptismal font.
Mm-hmm.
A lump tends to rise in my throat, and I have a catch of breath when I call up the memory, because I'm drawn by the beauty of the place. And of course, that says very little of all the relationships and history and all the rest.
Yeah. It's sweet how the Lord uses such what seems to be on the outside insignificant things to really bring solidarity to some of the most significant things.
Yeah.
So I know that a lot of the time spent here at First Pres was your time abroad, because you've been abroad quite a bit. And I know that you've worked quite a bit in Cuba. Would you mind to talk a little bit about your work there?
Well, it really goes back to our days in Spain, you know, learning Spanish. I was 42 when I tried to learn Spanish. I'm not a really good language learner, and in spite of a lot of hard work, I'm still not very conversant in the actual Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But the experience in Spain put me in contact with my colleague that I work with in Cuba, and I discovered my true gifting, I think, while I was in Spain, a little bit before we got there, but really deeply understood who I was as a Christian, as an artist. And so I work with my colleague, and he does the speaking and teaching, but I do the recording, the videos, the images, the visuals. And he's not just anybody. I think God has brought us together like a Paul and Barnabas Paul and Silas. We deeply understand each other and appreciate each other's differences. And he needs me and I need him, you know, in a partnership that way. And we've produced a number of things that are really all over Cuba and the Latin world. The first big series we did was, and we did it in Cuba, actually, was a series on Galatians, 10 lessons on the gospel for Christians.
And so he's got the teaching element to it, and I've given it some meat on the bones.
Well, I made it go somewhere. I mean, you know, other than just the moment when you give a lot, you know, then that's the whole media thing.
Yeah.
You know, how does it get into other people's hands?
Yeah.
And so since then, we've done a number of things that are still being used. Most recently, we did a retreat via Zoom. But we did all our videos ahead, you know, so that we could drop those when the time came. But it was done live, and it was beamed back into Spain. They had a retreat in Spain, and it was I don't remember the number now, but it was way outside of all over Spain. It was all these little spots where people signed in to enjoy that, and so it's very satisfying for me to realize that my gifting in art and my draw to that has produced this
tangible means to,
well, the extent that it's gone in the world. I mean, I'm a missionary going to all the world, but how do you get there?
Yeah.
Well, one way is through this media focus.
Yeah. Well, before we started, you were talking a little bit about some scriptures that have really shaped your life. I think that might be a good place for us to end on, so that we really can get this full picture of how the Lord's worked in your life. And so I thought maybe you might speak to a couple of those scriptures that have really shaped your life.
Well, without a doubt, Romans 5 has been the core of my whole connection with Scripture. And there's one phrase there in Romans 5 that has started it, and it's tribulation works patience.
Mm.
when I got to Columbia Bible College in 65, that phrase from Romans 5 just stood out to me. And my life has been full of a lot of tribulation. As I grow in Christ, that tribulation manifests itself in a lot of different ways. So that definitely is one. And then early on, I found Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplication, because he's inclined his ear unto me. Therefore, I'll call upon him as long as I live. You know, and the discipleship element of my life, it's one thing to have faith in Jesus. It's another thing to follow him. Discipleship is following Jesus over a long. I mean, you know, you can have faith in a lot of things. You can have faith in Jesus, maybe, and not, you know, really follow him. So the following is where it comes up from. Most recently, I was pointed to Isaiah chapter 8. Verses 16 to 18, bind up the testimony and seal the teaching among my disciples. You know, Isaiah was very persecuted, and he wrote this little piece of poetry, you know, bind up the testimony, what God's doing, you know, Ahab and all the rest of them, and wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Wow. He hides himself. I've been totally fascinated for years out of Matthew, where it, just before he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, before that he says, I've hidden these things, the things of God, I've hidden them from the wise and understanding, and I've revealed them unto babes. And so my best profile is a babe in Christ. The Christ-centered childlikeness is a powerful goal.
It's beautiful. Absolutely. And, you know, as I was listening to you read the passage in Isaiah and thinking about the passage in Romans, it seems that the end product, so to speak, of the tribulation and the end product of the waiting on God's countenance and his face is hope.
You know, and hope is to eagerly and unshakably wait for an unseen but certain outcome.
Absolutely.
Eagerly and unshakably. Well,
which brings in childlike joy. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, can I ask you one more question?
Do I have to answer? Yes.
I hope that this will be a blessing for you to answer. And it's the last question I like to ask everybody. How can folks be in prayer for you?
Oh, wow. Doug? Okay. Well, I thought about that before I got here. How would I like for people to pray for me? That's a difficult question in a way.
Sure.
But I say, pray that I would remember what I have seen with mine own eyes of faith, like Simeon in chapter 2 of Luke, that he saw the salvation of God. He held Jesus in his arms as a baby, and that I would look for and anticipate his final intervention when at death's door I will be carried into his loving presence and see him, the author and finisher of my faith. Pray for me that I would remember what I've seen of God's interventions in my own life throughout these almost 60 years now. I mean, he showed up time and time again. And you can see it now. You don't see it at the time a lot.
Yeah.
But when you look back and you see the patterns that he has produced as you've tried to follow him, man, he's just full of love. I'm sure he looks down at us in loving amusement. I mean, let's not get too serious about God here. The loving amusement.
Oh, absolutely.
As we try to follow him.
Yeah.
I love that. A loving amusement. I mean, he's watching what we're doing, and he sees us in our struggles, and he loves us so deeply.
I think it's we're safe to say that he looks on us with amusement and joy.
Yes. It's a lot simpler than we all think. We get too complicated, don't we? Super.
We absolutely will be in prayer for that for you. I mean, my goodness, we could all use that. So thank you for sharing that with us. And thank you for sharing the time. You know, it's a vulnerable thing to come and to share your own personal story to a microphone. So I'm thankful that you would come in and really help build our own faith with your story and how the Lord has worked in your life.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining in to listen to another edition of Senior Connect. If there are any needs that you have or any issues that we may be able to assist with, please call the Pastoral Care phone line at 803-513-7931. Again, that's 803-513-7931. And as we conclude today, hear this eternal truth of God's promise for His people in His Word. It comes in the beginning of the 5th chapter of Romans, where it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us."